John the Beloved. Come on. You guys are probably sick and tired of me talking about love. But I can't stop. It's just the revelation that I carry that God is love. God is incredibly kind, incredibly gracious. And that's the most important thing. So when John, you know, John is my favorite apostle. If I had to just choose one author in the Bible, I'd choose John every time. Purely and simply for 1 John, where it says, oh, God is love. Those who live in love live in God and God in them. Come on, that's enough, isn't it? That's enough. You can live by that. God is love. Those who live in love live in God and God in them. Sums up the whole Bible. Really. Fantastic. It's not trite. It's simple, but it's not trite. You know, when we named our son, he was born in Kathmandu, when we named him, all kinds of people were kind of pleased that we named him John. You know, Sadie's uncle John, he was very pleased. You know, he's obviously named after his father was pleased, his brother's name was used. Sadie's father was pleased because John's his second name, so he felt like he was included. And David was John's second name, so we reversed them round, so he got that. My mum was pleased because her dad was called John. You know, and most people were pleased because they thought we'd named him after John Barnes, the England footballer. Played for Liverpool, yes, thanks Ian. but in truth, I'd just been reading 1 John and looked down at the rug in our little house in Kathmandu, and the rug had a complex pattern in it, and for the first time I noticed as I was looking at it, there was little heart shapes in it, and just love, and I thought, come on. I wanted to name the baby Maya, which means love in Nepali. That's a girl's name. Couldn't call him Maya. But we called him John, the one who knew that he was loved. He describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And honestly, it's the most profound thing in life, to know you're loved. You see that in the flesh when someone gets engaged. You see them blossom. You see that they know they're loved. When someone meets someone and falls in love, you know it, they flourish. But actually, that's the way we can live all the time, because we're loved. Anyway. Let's read it, shall we? The Bible's pretty good. We ought to read it sometimes. Look, there you go. There's the word for this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. And Thomas says to him, he must have been a Liverpool supporter. He said, Lord, we don't know the way. Sorry. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be enough for us. It'll be sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, or she who believes in me, the works that I do, she will do also. And greater works than these will she do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything, or if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Not bad, is it really? Imagine writing that one afternoon. That's a pretty good afternoon's work. Amazing. Oh, that's my son, by the way, for those who don't know. John. Catching his first fish last year in Cornwall. John was a fisherman too, so you know, you've already heard that, haven't you, John the Thunder? How he stopped being a thunderer, stopped being a judgmental John, and became a lover. Fantastic. So this morning, that's the message this morning, really, for me. It's knowing the Father's love is the secret to living without a troubled heart, a trouble-free heart. You know, and this is a funny passage, isn't it? Because it begins with, let not your heart be troubled. And at the end of chapter 16, in verse 33, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. Thanks, Jesus. I should get up and preach that on Sunday morning. That would get the accolades coming. Got something to say to you this morning, you're going to have trouble. But that's what Jesus said. But he starts off, let not your heart be troubled. He ends it, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You see, Jesus is a realist. He knows that we live in a tough world, but God's will's not being done left, right, and center, where there's so much that happens that makes God weep and makes God angry. But he tells them stuff on the night before his crucifixion, his last night with him. He tells them stuff that will keep their hearts clean, keep their hearts from getting weighed down by all the stuff that we read in the internet or on the newspapers or we hear on the radio or we just see in our own town. He wants to set us free from all the stuff that would weigh us down. That sound good? So that's what he's going to do. And so basically, if you read this whole section, 14, 15, and 16, it's like a kind of little kind of guide to how you can keep your heart trouble-free, how you can live above the troubles and not be weighed down by them. So it starts off by saying, God is like Jesus. Come on, Philip, how long have you known me? You've seen me. Don't you believe that the Father's in me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wow, what a crazy statement. I love John because he has this revelation. He knows that Jesus is God. You see, a lot of people, they have this idea of God. They worship a higher power. Even a lot of people that don't call themselves Christians will acknowledge there's something out there. They'll often tell you, I believe in something, I just don't know what it is. See, knowing there's a God, knowing there's a higher power, knowing there's a something will not give your heart rest. It's knowing what that higher power is, knowing who it is and what he's like that really brings rest. And Jesus wants us to know that the higher power, his Father, is exactly like him. Someone who accepts their enemies, willing to go and heal the centurion's servant, or willing to have the tax collector come into the kingdom, go and eat and drink with him and his friends, a party with sinners, or willing actually not to stone the adulteress, not to condemn her along with all the religious folk. This is our God. This is our God. He's exactly like me. That brings our heart rest. Honestly, guys, my deepest wish would be for you. Paul says, doesn't he, at one point, he says, I wish all men were like me. Sounds a bit kind of vain, doesn't it? But honestly, I can relate to that. I wish all men could see Jesus the way I see Jesus, or see God and read the Bible the way I read the Bible, because it gives me so much joy, so much life. My prayer for you this morning is that you just receive another revelation of God's goodness and love into your hearts. You know that God is just like Jesus. And that he lives with us. John 14, you know, the Holy Spirit's he's going to be in you. Later on he says, if you do what I command, we'll come and sup with you, me and the Father. We're going to come and live with you too. It's not just the Holy Spirit, it's the whole Trinity moving in. It's going to be a bit crowded, but I love it. But it's just communion, it's just fellowship, it's just living with God, it's just family, hanging out, doing life together. When we do life together with God, everything's bearable. At least it is for me. And that's what John is saying. In the midst of it, it's that command to love one another comes up again and again and again, because God is love, and those who live in love live in God and God in them. And that's a practical thing. It's a laying down your life kind of thing. It's not just a saying the words kind of thing. It's about preferring one another. It's about serving one another. Yeah, all those good things. But simply loving one another. That's what John says in his letter. You know, this is how we set our hearts at rest when we do acts of kindness for one another. 1 John, I think it's the end of 1 John 3. That's always stood out to me as a beautiful thing. Because we can often condemn ourselves often, because we know ourselves. We know all our inadequacies and all our weaknesses and all of our stuff. But we can put all that to rest, bring trouble-freeness by serving someone, by just doing an act of kindness for someone else, laying down our life. Fantastic. I have a good example. I live with a good example. My wife is fantastic at that. Great servant. Good inspiration to me. I need to learn from her all the time. Ask. Oh, my word. He continues. He just says, ask, ask, and you will receive. He says it again and again and again on this night. Ask and you will receive. Now, we're not talking about asking for things like Ferraris or for Liverpool to win the Champions League. You know, that. Good dancing, Ian. You know, keep dancing. But, you know, it's not about asking for those kind of things. And Father knows that you need that kind of stuff. You know, I've got a great example of that, because when we moved into our house, you know, our little table from our old house was tiny in our dining room. And I wanted to buy a bigger table of the same make, same design, which could sit 10 chairs around, because we like to have feasts in our home from time to time. But there's no way we could afford it, because it cost thousands. And so I just put it to one side. So we'll leave that for now. We won't do it. We haven't got any money. But a few weeks later, there was an advert in the church newsletter saying table and chairs. I think it was for £1,000. Contact this number. We did, and it turned out to be at Windsor Castle. It was the Queen's table. And Sadie got to name the Queen's favourite horse, Tiger Lily, at the time, back in 2001 or two. When we brought the table in, you know, when I didn't see it, Sadie got it. But it was exactly the table that I wanted to buy. Exactly the table with better chairs. At basically a fifth of the price or something ridiculous. Unbelievable. You know, I tell you that. God is kind, you know. We don't have to worry him with all that kind of stuff. He does that kind of stuff for free on the edges. What God wants us to do is to pray for the kingdom to come. When we see the sick person, to have mercy and to visit them and to pray for them. Or when we see the naked, to clothe them, have mercy. And when we to go and visit the people in the poorest parts of Europe and go and minister to them in Albania or Nepal. Come with me to Nepal next year. You know, ask God for kingdom stuff. In the midst of that, Jesus says, you know, you're my friends. You know the kind of things that I like to do in John 15. I'll do whatever you ask, Stella. That's what he says to you, which is a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Come on. Let's ask, guys. Let's just keep asking. We're in the midst of thy kingdom come. I'll remind us again in a bit. But, you know, thy kingdom come is about praying for the kingdom to come. It's a worldwide movement of prayer now about praying for our friends and family and colleagues and neighbors who don't yet know the love that we experience. And we want them to have the joy that we have. So I'm praying for friends that I've been praying for years. And, of course, no trouble-free heart would be completely trouble-free if there was still a fear of death in it. So he talks about the resurrection too. Says, I'm going to leave you for a while, but I'm coming back and your joy will be complete when you see me again. For a while you won't see me, but then you'll see me. He talks about the resurrection. If we don't have trouble-free hearts in the midst of all the trouble that's going on, we need to know there's a resurrection. We need to know that death is not the end. We need to know the kingdom is going to come despite what anybody might do, even if they kill us. Amen. Of the increase of his government in peace, there will be no end. Fantastic. The kingdom is coming and nothing can stop it. I'll let it as my kids. A couple of years ago now, but, you know. Living as a beloved child. You know, this is an inspiration. Jesus talks about going to the Father's house, preparing a place for us. Some people think that that's in talking about going to heaven, so that he'd come and get us and take us to heaven. It's not talking about that at all. It's talking about living with the Father. Moving in with God. In that fellowship, that family way. We can do that now. We don't have to wait till we die. It will happen when we die. We don't have to wait for that. We can live with him now. We can share communion, share house fellowship with him now. By the Holy Spirit, We cry out, Abba, Father, Paul says in Romans 8. But yeah, this is it. We can do it now. Live with God closely. It's an inspiration, you know. It's not a doctrinal truth. It's not some kind of one-upmanship on other religions that other people like to think it is when he says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is an invitation into intimacy with God so that you can know God as your dad. Wow. You can know that God is mad about you, that he lavishes his love on you this morning. It's an invitation into that kind of relationship with God, which is incredible. Honestly, there's nothing better than that. You know, and Jesus is representing God, obviously, and he's declaring all these things as he walks through, as he does his ministry, the great seven I ams in John's gospel. They're incredible things, aren't they? He wants us to know the Father. They all represent kind of aspects of the Father in a way. You know, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. You know, the bread was what sustained them in the desert. Basically, God is saying, I am your provider. This is not a talk on provision. I could give you loads of stories of God's provision, but this is, God is our provider. That's good to know. We don't have to worry about having enough. That's a bit of anxiety gone. That's a trouble lifted. I am the light of the world. No, everyone who follows me does no longer walks in darkness. He's our guide. He's going to lead us. We're not going to get lost. Another trouble lifted. The darkness could be a terribly fearful place, but not when you've got a great big light. I can remember as a kid being terrified sometimes of the dark. But if you give me a big light, I was fine. Another trouble lifted. I am the door. Jesus says anyone who enters this door will be saved. There's acceptance. You know, if we choose to enter through Jesus, there's an acceptance guaranteed. There's no fear of rejection. God accepts us all, lock, stock, and barrel, without any exceptions, any who come to him. Amazing. That's the Father. The Father's always accepting. The good shepherd who lays down his life. The Father's our protector. He's not a hired man who runs away as soon as the wolf or the bear or the lion come to take the sheep. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life, who fights off every would-be robber and thief from our lives. And that's why it's good to know he's the lion that's bigger and stronger, that he's capable of defending us. He's our protector. The Father protects us. He's the resurrection and the life. Not even death can harm us. He's the way to intimacy with God, and he's the way to a fruitful life, the true vine. Jesus says that in John 15, I'm the true vine. My Father's the gardener. You're the branches. Fruitful life in Christ is about answered prayer. And that's in this passage we just read out this morning, isn't it? Ask me whatever you want and I'll do it for you. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And later on in John 15, ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. You know, I struggled at this point when I was just trying to prepare for this morning, just because I got so many stories of God answering prayer, whether that's financial provision type prayer, whether that's for healing, people being healed, seeing people saved from all kinds of sicknesses, pains, things of mental illnesses like depression, OCD. So one lady with anorexia completely healed instantly through prayer. After years of anorexia, she was fading away. God loves to do this thing. You know, in Luke, it says, you know, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Most of us rule ourselves out. We dial ourselves out because we know we can't do it and we know we're not worthy. The truth is that we just got to ask. Jesus says, those who ask receive. All, that's the only qualification. And I speak to myself, you know, because I don't ask enough. I see a lot, but there's loads more I could see. And it's an inspiration to us. It's not don't get condemned by this, but go out this morning, you know, go out this morning with a determination just to ask God to do more. I dare you. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Next time you're having a conversation with someone and they mention a trouble, I double dog dare you to believe that you're anointed, that God lives with you, that you're a child of God, whom he lavishes his love on. and whom he says that, you know, you represent him and that you can ask him to do wonderful things for them. Be generous with his love for them. And you'll see it, because that's my story. And the more we ask, the more we see. We can set the town on fire. We set the region on fire, guys, by being generous with what we've received. The trouble is, you know, a lot of the cultural baggage is rubbish about religion, saying we get what we deserve. No, that's another religion. That's Buddhism. We get karma or something. Yeah, that's another religion altogether, where you get what you deserve. We live in a religion, a faith of grace. It's a relationship of grace where we get what we don't deserve. Come on. We get what we don't deserve. So that's why, you know, we're praying this week for our friends. You know, and this is not about targeting people. This is really about loving people. If we really love those that are around us, that don't actually know what it's like to be loved by the King of Love, by the God who made us all, who don't have the hope and the joy and the peace that we carry. Wow, come on. So I don't know if you've been following Thy Kingdom Come, I hope so. But you know, they encourage us to have five names. I can never limit it to just five, but at least have five names. Lift five names up before the Father. Do that right now, even if you haven't done it before. Just think of five people that you know at the moment, that you spend some time with or in contact with, who don't yet know that they're loved. Don't know the lavish love of God. Say a silent prayer for them now. Let's just all be quiet for a minute and just say a prayer for them. Lift them up before our Father and ask him to lavish some love on them. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of God that draws us. It's the love of God that draws us out of darkness into light. Let's pray that they see it, that they're drawn to wonder if this God is worth checking out, because those who seek will find. But we can live without troubled hearts, Jesus says. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, but yeah, but believe in me. Trust me. The Father's just like me. I'm kind and generous. Gracious. Live as joyful children. Living with him now in his mansions. Knowing we're loved and receiving whatever we ask. But I want to just pray at the end here, because I want to take seriously what God said about lifting troubled hearts. So if when I spoke that out about troubled hearts, if you know that actually, let's all just bow our heads, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you know, if you know that that's you, that you've had a troubled heart for a while, and you just want it lifted this morning, I just want you to place your hand on your heart. Place your hand on your heart. Because God is coming to you right now. Peace that's coming, a peace that passes understanding. A new joy. Scott, will you come up and play for us, please? Father, thank you that you're the God who calms every storm. Thank you that you said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Thank you that you've overcome every trouble that I face, that we face. And I pray for everybody who laid their hands on their heart, oh God, that supernatural peace will flow to them today. In the name of Jesus, thank you that you're lifting the troubles from their hearts. Thank you that joy and peace are entering them through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, Father. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done.